Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome back home again. I appreciate that last song, and you'll see why when I give my message. Many of the words we just sang are going to be spoken again today. As we look around the world, it's hard to believe the anger, the hatred, and the violence that's taking place in the world. And the Bible warns us that the love of many will wax cold as we come to the end time prophecies being fulfilled. And we see right before our very eyes how much hatred, how much envy, strife, and horrible, horrible situations that's taking place, particularly as we watch the news in Israel. And now I find our nation, which really is very disturbing to me, is rising up in conflict, saying that Israel should be annihilated. There are rallies all over the United States, in New York, California, and all over the world, defending the Palestinians for what they did to the Israelites. Now, I find that very repulsive that they would consider that an act of violence on the Israelites' part because they're retaliating. Just amazing, isn't it? But that's the world that we're finding ourselves in. Now, today's sermon is something I've been working on for a while. And with the events that leading up to ancient Israel being attacked in the past and now in the present, I found it very interesting that we need some encouragement. We truly do. And how I actually prepared for this sermon, this sermon was prepared about 3 months ago. If you remember, I was in the hospital in a medical facility at Geisinger having open heart surgery. So I had my triple bypass. And while I was in the hospital, the nurses kept coming in and saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I was wondering why they kept pressing me almost every hour, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I asked the one nurse, "Why do they keep asking me, am I okay?" They said, "Well, people who've had surgery have a tendency to go into a state of depression." And I appreciated the sermonette because it kind of fits in many aspects of what I'm going to talk about. There are many statistics today that discuss about depression and how people actually have depression. And I found myself in two stages of depression. And I thought, I'm not a depressed person. But according to statistics, losing a loved one or death and having major surgery because of health issues are two major issues why people go into a state of depression. And that's why they kept approaching me almost every hour. "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I finally had the nurse tell me, "Well, you got to realize in 10 months you had two major surgeries. You lost your wife. You lost your father. You went through your friend that died." They said, "You went through so many negative situations. It's hard to stay positive when you're dealing with so much adversity." And so as I was laying on the bed, I was praying to God, and I said, "God, keep me positive. Don't let me go negative. Don't let me get depressed. Don't let me give up on life." Because it was so easy to do. So many people did that. And it was interesting because I was walking around my little walker, because after open heart surgery, they want you to start moving around as much as possible. And the doctor was really surprised I got up the next day. He said, "You just had open heart surgery. You need to rest." I said, "I'll rest. I'll get my rest, but I want to start walking." So I'm walking around my little walker. And as I was walking around my walker, I came upon a billboard. And on the billboard, there was something that I read that I thanked God for, and I'm going to use it in my sermon today. The title of the message is 8 powerful ways to help you with staying positive. 8 powerful ways to stay positive. And I'm going to use these 8 principles that they had on the billboard. And you can see, this is part of my notes. Now, they said 8 powerful words for the day, but I'm going to emphasize 8 powerful words to stay positive. And I'm going to use these points in a sermon here because I found it to be very positive, very encouraging for me. While I was laying around in the hospital and trying to get around walking, I needed some positive. And I prayed to God and asked him, "Give me something positive, Father. Help me to stay positive." And I found this on the bulletin board. And this was a message for all the workers that were working there. 8 positive words, powerful words it emphasized for the day. But I found it was very encouraging spiritually. These are physical aspects that they came up with, but I'm going to use them spiritually. Encourage you spiritually to use these principles to stay positive, brethren. We have to stay positive. The world is going to be negative. It's going to pull you down if you let it. And if you do let it, you can go in a state of depression. Now, people think, well, it's just sadness or you know, not sure, you know, not being happy. Depression can lead to suicide. I've experienced that, not myself, but of individuals I know personally who attempted suicide. So depression is very seriously. The statistics, it's interesting. I mentioned about losing a loved one. That can put so much stress on somebody that they give up on life. They find themselves not wanting to live any longer, and they attempt suicide. Individuals have succeeded in attempting suicide. And so it's very serious that we need to stay on top of it. Don't allow depression, don't allow sadness or anything take you to that level. God warns us. He doesn't want us to be unhappy. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy in our lives. And he gives us many, many opportunities to receive that. We just recently came back from the feast. I'm happy to see Patty made it back and everything's well. She was over in Israel area. And so she experienced it firsthand of what's going on in the world. And so we have to stay on top of it. So let's go into 8 powerful ways to stay positive. And think about these on how they affect you personally. As I was in the hospital, I found it to me very encouraging. And it lifted me up because I was in that state. I could have easily went into a depression knowing, okay, I had all these surgery. And now, next month, I have surgery again. So I go through it again. They found 4 masses, and I realized, okay, life is what it is. Sometimes we find things not always what we expect. But I have to have surgery again sometime next month. So pray about that, if you will. And again, I'm staying positive because I know God knows what's best, and he will guide me through whatever I have to deal with, whatever you have to deal with. And if you use these 8 principles, I think you'll find yourself on the positive side of life. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Stay on the positive side of life. So the first point that I want to bring out is believe in yourself. Now, this can be used for the positive or it can be used for the negative. I realize that. Some people say, you know, they become self-centered. They think, you know, believe in themselves. They expect all the self-centeredness. But this is in reference to God. God, our Heavenly Father, believes in you. He believes in me. He believes in you. And he has a great plan. This point says, believe in yourselves. Believe you can and you will, is the point that says in this 8-point process. And God truly does. Let's look at John 15. And we'll look at verse 16. John 15, verse 16. Notice what it says here. Now, this is Jesus Christ directly talking to you and me. He says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So this is very encouraging, very positive, in believing in yourselves. It says, "I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." So he wants us to produce fruit, positive fruits, things that will keep us in the right mind, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So again, Jesus Christ is on your side. He believes in you. Our Heavenly Father believes in you. And each and every one of us believe in each other, in helping one another, in encouraging one another. So we do need to believe in ourselves. Let's continue over in 1 Peter. We'll look at 1 Peter and we'll look at chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation." So again, Our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are looking at it as we are precious in His sight. It says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I like this, a peculiar people. Some people look at it from a negative perspective, but I look at it from a positive perspective there. A different person, a different people. That you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. And we all walked in darkness at one time in our lives. Now many say, well, I was born in the church, but you're still... You were in the womb of darkness, if you want to term it that, and you came out into the light. And we all came into the light because it says, verse 9, into the marvelous light, which is the truth of God. So we all were called for that purpose. Verse 10 says, which in times past were not a people. So at one time we did not walk according to what God wanted us to do. But now we are the people of God, which have not attained mercy, but now we have attained mercy. And so our Heavenly Father is on the... up in heaven, encouraging us and motivating us to stay positive. Believe in yourself. Know that He wants you in His kingdom. He's called you for this opportunity to be in His kingdom. And so we need to stay positive. We need to do our part and stay positive. Let's look at Luke 12. I have a lot of scriptures today. When I was kind of preparing this, laying on the bed, I had my Bible, which was nice. So many times when you're in the hospital, they don't let you bring much. But I did have my Bible. I think Valerie brought it for me so I could read while I was in the hospital. And so this kind of helped me the opportunity to kind of prepare some of these scriptures. And, of course, when you're laying in bed, nothing to do, that gives you plenty of time to look up scriptures. And so I do have a lot more scriptures than I normally do in a sermon. And I'm looking at the time. We don't have to be out here till 2, right? No, I'm not going to go till 2. If I do, you can ring a bell or something. Something positive. Okay, over in Luke 12, let's look at verse 32. Notice what it says here. Again, Jesus Christ is giving us so many encouraging words from His, from God's Bible that He's inspired to tell us. And verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So our Heavenly Father is looking forward to each and every one of us being in His kingdom. He believes in you. He believes in us, all of us. And so He says inspiring words like this in verse 32. Fear not. Don't get negative. Don't fear. Know that our Heavenly Father wants you and me in His kingdom. And He's looking forward to all of us being part of His family. And that's why I say believe in yourself. I know it's hard sometimes when things don't go well. You can start saying, well, what did I do wrong that all these things are happening? Time and chance happens to everyone. We don't always understand why God's in control. We understand that. And He can make things change. But sometimes we have to go through trials. Trials is an opportunity to grow spiritually. And it gives you an opportunity to draw closer to God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. Let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 31. And I like this scripture. It says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" What a powerful, positive words of encouragement. Like it says here, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I think about ancient Israel, and I think about current situation over in Israel. Those people are struggling very much, yet God is with them. I mean, you're going to see some prophecies being fulfilled in the next several months. As this continues to progress, showing us the power of our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, because He's for the people. And if anybody goes against God's people, there is going to be some real retribute back upon those individuals. So again, if God is for us, who can be against us? So again, very positive, encouraging words, believing in us, believing in God's people, and encouraging to continue to stay faithful. Let's look at Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, we'll look at verse 5 and 6. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." And so, brethren, when we are dealing with adverse situations, we need to learn to be content. I'm not saying it's easy, because I've been there. I know what that's all about. It's not easy to be contented when you're dealing with trials and problems, adversity. But it says, with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you. Always keep that in the forefront of your mind. Our Heavenly Father will never leave us. He will never leave us absent. It said, nor forsake us. So we can hold on to that. We can believe in that. We can hold true that our Heavenly Father truly loves us, and he believes in us, and that he's there for us. Philippians, look at the book of Philippians. We'll look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I like this scripture because, again, it's very positive. It encourages us. It reminds us what our Heavenly Father is thinking of us and what he expects of us. Over in verse 6 again, it says, chapter 1, being confident, and we have to have confidence to understand, is it, of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you. So our Heavenly Father is working with each and every one of us, and he has a good work for us, and that he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, whether we're alive at the return of Jesus Christ or we're in a place of safety, as I mentioned in the past, in the grave for those who are faithful and have passed on, are waiting for the resurrection in the grave, we have to, brethren, believe in the plan of God. Know that our Heavenly Father is for us, and he encourages us to stay faithful. One more scripture over in Philippians chapter 4 while we're here, and let's look at verse 13. And when we're struggling sometimes with doubt, depression is the key word that so many people use nowadays when you're sad or you're not up happy, showing a happy face, and you're dealing with trials or problems. It says here over in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. Jesus Christ is our strength. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be able to stay faithful, to endure, no matter what life brings to us. And there'll be good times and there'll be bad times. I've always compared life to a roller coaster ride. You've probably heard this before, but it's so true. A roller coaster ride, highs, lows, twists, and turns. I've had many highs, you've had many highs. We've all had some lows, and we've all had some twists and turns in life. And so, again, we can do all things with Christ who helps us through the Holy Spirit. Point number two, which kind of follows this same theme, we need to stay strong. Or as the Bible says, endure to the end. It says here, stay strong, dream, believe, and achieve. And that's so true. As we stay strong and we endure to the end, we will achieve. And that achievement is the kingdom of God, and we'll be part of it. So we have to stay strong, brethren. We can't allow negative things in our lives to pull us down, to weaken us. That's how Satan is so clever. He uses our weaknesses to get to us, to discourage us, to get us upset, and to allow us to even get to the point where we give up. We can easily give up. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Stay strong. One of my favorite scriptures to refer to staying strong is over in Joshua. You've probably heard this one before. Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua was a strong man. When God used Joshua to bring the Israelites into the land of Egypt, or the land of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt with Moses' help. And when Moses passed, then of course Joshua helped take over and lead the nation. Notice some of the things that were told here over in the book of Joshua. Let's look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Again, this is God talking through Joshua. Only be you strong and be very courageous. So again, Joshua is encouraging the people, be courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commands you. And this is God talking through Joshua. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whatever you go. And we'll continue verse 9. It says, have not I commanded you, be strong? So he didn't just say it once. He said it multiple times throughout his book here. It says, and of a good courage. And that's what we have to be. We have to be strong. We have to endure to the end. We can't go halfway. We can't go three quarters of the way and then give up. We have to be strong and be faithful and endure to the end. It says, neither be afraid or neither be dismayed. And that's what happened for people. When people get discouraged or dismayed, they give up. They're no longer strong. They become weak, and they give up. But it says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So again, keep these thoughts in your mind as you're dealing with any negative situation in life. Stay positive. Stay strong. Remember, our Heavenly Father is with us. He wants us in His kingdom. And so He doesn't give up. He's always there for us, and He expects us to stay strong. And part of staying strong, let's look over at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. Now, this is encouraging us, and we learned this while we were at the Feast of Tabernacles. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. And so we will have a wonderful blessing to know the fear, the proper fear of God, not the fear of intimidation or anything like that, but of reverence our Heavenly Father. It gives us strong confidence that He's there for us, and He wants us to be strong, and He wants us to continue to be faithful. Let's look at James. Like I said, I'm going to be all over the Bible today, a lot more than I normally am, so I hope you don't mind. This is some of the thoughts that I had, and I asked God to encourage me to emphasize these words to you to stay positive and to stay faithful. James chapter 1, we'll look at verse 12. Again, these are words. Now, this is from the book of James. It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. That's part of being strong, is enduring temptations. There will be temptations out there in the world, temptations to take us away from His truth. It says, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love Him. And that's what we're all looking forward to, the crown of life, being in the kingdom of God, being all together. What a wonderful blessing that will be when we'll see our loved ones once again and be with them. But we have to stay strong, brethren. We can't allow obstacles, trials, circumstances to discourage us. And it will. And believe me, they'll be knocking on your door any opportunity Satan can find to weaken you. But you have to stay strong, and we all have to stand strong and endure to the end. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 22. Yep, 22 is what I want. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. Now that sounds like, wow, we're going to be hated. Yeah, if they hated Christ, they're going to hate us because of what we stand for. As Christians, we have to be willing to accept that and realize not everybody's going to love you. We love each other, and that's what God wants us to do, love each other and care for one another. But the world, they're going in a different direction. They're going to hate you, and that's going to be a trial that you're going to have to deal with, and you have to stand strong. Pray for those who despitefully use you, we're told, and that hate us. That's a tough task, but if we're going to be strong, we have to be willing to do that, to stand firm and be adamant that no matter what anybody says about us or does to us, we can still be strong and we still can endure. Ephesians 6. We'll look at verse. I'm not sure if I'm going to use the whole scripture here because as I was reading this, I thought this says a lot, and I have 8 points. And so I don't want to take too much time away from all the other points. But Ephesians 6, we'll start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not our might. It's not our strength. It's the strength in the Lord and his might. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we've given sermons about that, so I'm going to kind of stop there. You continue to read verse 10 through 18 about the armor of God. What a powerful way to stay strong, holding on to the armor of God. And we've heard sermons about that, so again, I'm going to move on. But again, I wanted to emphasize that when I was thinking about that. That is our strength. That is what we're able to keep us strong if we put on the armor of God and resist the devil. Proverbs, we'll go back to Proverbs. Proverbs is one of my favorite books, as you all know. When I was a teenager growing up, learning about the truths of God, and I referred to Proverbs growing up as a teenager because it kept me on the straight and narrow path. There was pools when I was growing up as a teenager, hippie season years and drugs and all the other situations, but fortunately God kept me on the straight and narrow path and not fall into those temptations that so many of my friends in school. And it's sad. I'll give you just kind of a sub idea here. I went to a class reunion. Now, I graduated with 451 students. That was a huge graduation class. And, you know, they clap when they're announcing a graduation. They get to the different, they got the Z. They were so tired of clapping that they hardly clapped. I was third from the last, so I wasn't the last one, so I kind of was good about that. But that just shows, like I say, we never know what, and why did I bring that up? I was just thinking about that. Anyway, I'll move on, but it just shows you sometimes, now I remember. 458 graduates in my class. Guess how many are alive now? Take a guess. I'm going to say, how many thinks, like 100? 150? 200? 200 out of 458. Now, I'm not that old. At least I don't feel like I'm that old. Yes, I'm a senior. Okay, I'll acknowledge that. But I'm not that old. And we had our 50th graduation ceremony, and they told me there was only like 200 of us left out of 458. Isn't that mind-boggling? But there's so many things that take people's lives. I mentioned about depression, suicide. There were several that committed suicide in my graduation class. One lady died in giving childbirth. She died very young. Another one was killed with selling drugs. They found her on the turnpike, I found out. It just shows life can change so quickly. And it's just amazing how, why we have to stay strong, because like I say, it's there. But let's go back. I mentioned Proverbs. Let's look at chapter 3. It says, my son, verse 1, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. That's a lot of the joy that we need to keep in our heart, and the positive things is the commandments. For length of days and length of life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Put them around. Keep them in your thoughts. Write them on the table of your hearts. These are all positive things to help us stay strong, so that you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and in man. Now, many people will respect us, not necessarily understand us, because we're different sometimes, because we stand out different. It says, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So hold on to that with all your heart. Trust in him and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So no matter what happens in life, the negative things that happen and the positive things, if we trust in God and all his ways we acknowledge him, he'll direct our paths. What a wonderful understanding of knowing that we can call upon him to direct our paths and lead us, even when we have trials that test our strength. Are we willing to be faithful? Will we endure to the end? James 4, We'll look at that, James 4, and then I'll go into the next point. Like I say, I've got a lot of scriptures, so one way I'm apologizing, another way I'm not. Because it was encouraging for me, and I hope it's encouraging for you. James 4, let's look at verse 7. And this is one of the ways that we can stay strong. With the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father encouraging us and helping us and enduring us, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So first in priority is our submission to God and Jesus Christ. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So no matter what trial that you're dealing with, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's what we have to do, brethren. We have to stay strong by drawing close to God, staying, submitting to God, and acknowledging God that you want to be there with him. You want to be in his kingdom, and that you need his strength to help you be able to do that. Third point, never give up. It says here, never give up. A little bit of progress each day adds up to big results. And that is so true. So many times we get discouraged because we feel like we're just not accomplishing what we set out to do sometimes. Or life has its twists and turns, as I mentioned. But we need to seek God when we feel like giving up. If we ever get to that point where we want to give up, and I've met people that gave up. They gave up not only their life, but their religion and their faith. They just gave it up. When pressures came upon them, they couldn't handle it, and they gave up. And that's why we cannot allow ourselves to give up. Never give up. And the Bible is very encouraging about that. Let's look at Galatians. We'll look at Galatians chapter 6. I'll go the other way. Sometimes my Bible pages stick. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 9. I thought about this when I was in the hospital. It's easy to give up. Just say, I've gone through two major surgeries now. Things just don't seem like things are working out right. But, you know, the encouraging was the doctors and the nurses were very encouraging. They came in and said, don't give up, don't give up. They kept telling me, don't give up. And so that kept me going too. And I thought about this scripture, Galatians 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due seasons we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So seek the opportunity, especially those of the household of faith. So we all need to encourage one another, to be there for one another, and not faint, not give up. Because it's so easy. That's the easy side of life. Just give up and say, that's it. I'm done. I give up. It's not the easy part that we want. We have to endure hardship. And part of enduring hardship is never giving up. Don't allow anything to take us out of the kingdom of God. Never give up. Don't ever. I think I've emphasized that to my children. Never give up. Never give up. And maybe I've emphasized it too much, but never give up. Hebrews 12. We'll look at verse 1 and 2. Now, this is after the chapter where we read about the faithful, and sometimes we don't continue. And I want to continue in chapter 12 of verse 1, and notice what it says. Therefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. So we had individuals who came before us who were faithful, who never gave up. And if you read chapter 11, what some of those individuals went through, you would say, wow, they were strong, they believed in themselves, and they never gave up, even to the point of death. And if you read about some of what they've experienced in chapter 11, it's amazing. It should encourage us to stay faithful as well. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So even Jesus Christ went through sufferings, as we well know, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So, brethren, as we're told here, we have to endure. We have to endure with patience, as it says in verse 1, running our race. Now, it's a walk. It's not really a run, because a run means you finish fast. It's a long walk, the faith, to stay faithful. And we have to be patient as we deal with life that is set before us. But again, if we run into a stumbling block or something that discourages us, don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever give up. Because that's what Satan wants. If he can get you to give up, he wins the battle. He wins the race. If you want to call it a race, I call it a walk because it's a long process. We've been in the church, many of us, for a long time. And we've been enduring and enduring. And sometimes it's easy to get weary and want to give up. I'm so tired. I've been trying this for so many years. We can't do that, brethren. We can't give up. We can never get to the point where we get weary and give up. 2 Timothy. Timothy is one of my favorite books, too. I really enjoy Timothy. He's an encouraging young man that Paul worked with and encouraged and had a nice relationship with Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, let's look at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. That's the words of God, the Bible, which you have heard of me in faith and love, which, again, Paul's emphasizing this to Timothy. That good thing which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. So when you get to the point where you feel like giving up, or you ever get to the point where you get discouraged and you're thinking, read words like this. Make the commitment. Stay faithful. Endure to the end. Don't ever give up. Seek God when you feel yourself weak. And you want to give up. Seek God and hold on to those wonderful words in the Word. Without the Bible, we'd be like everyone else, just living life sometimes to their fullness, which isn't always good. And we would be like everyone else. But we have to be different, brethren. We have to be willing to seek God whenever we deal with temptations or trials or problems, and hold faithful and never ever give up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the love chapter. And there are so many encouraging words here in 1 Corinthians 13. Because it does come down. God loves us and we love God. And he wants us to be in his kingdom. And he doesn't want us to give up. He never wants us to give up. There will be those that will give up. There'll be a lake of fire. And I'm not going to talk about that today. But there is a lake of fire, and there will be some that will give up, and they will lose the opportunity of being in the kingdom of God. But brethren, we don't want to be part of that group. We want to be faithful. We want to endure. We want to continue seeking him. Over in 1 Corinthians 13, let's look at verse 4. Charity suffers long and is kind. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself and is not puffed up. So the emphasis is we're reaching out in love. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Verse 6, it says, rejoice not in iniquity. We don't want to rejoice in iniquity, and that's what's happening over in Israel right now. There's iniquity going on, and people are rejoicing over it. That's not love. I don't care how much they say they have love. If they show the fruits of iniquity, that's not love. It says, but rejoice in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And that's it pretty much in a nutshell. That's why we endure. There's other scriptures, and I'm just going to refer to them because of time. I've got to keep pressing on. Revelation 2, verse 10, if you want to look that one up. And then Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. We'll move on to the next point. Be grateful or be thankful. And it says here, a grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. I like that. A grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. To be grateful is to acknowledge God all the wonderful things he's given us over the course of time. From the time we were born to the time we die, It's a time that we should always be thankful for all that God has given us. And there's so many scriptures in reference to being thankful, so I'm just going to quote some of these since, again, time is moving on. I'm only at point four, if you're keeping points, point four, being grateful. Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5, if you want to write that down. Psalms 107, verse 1. Psalms 116, verse 17. And I'm going to turn to Ephesians, as we were there earlier. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, accordingly as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. What a wonderful blessing to know that. Even from the very foundations, he knew he was going to call us, those that he called, that he should be holy, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We should truly be thankful for that. He's called us from the very beginning. He knew that he was going to call us and give us opportunity to be in his kingdom. That doesn't mean that we will fail. If we stay negative, we will fail. And that's why it's so important we have to stay positive. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, 19 and 21 through 21. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. That's showing our thankfulness and our gratefulness to our Heavenly Father. You can also look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm not going to read that because of time, but that's another encouraging of singing songs of joy. I gave that in my last sermonette about rejoicing at the feast in the holy days. And singing is a wonderful way of showing God that you're thankful, that you appreciate all that he has done for you and will continue to do for you. Point number 5, work hard. It says, good things come to those who hustle. Kind of like that hustle, because I played basketball and they kind of growled me for hustling. I joined a senior league, and I really enjoyed that with my friend Lenny. And we were running up and down the courts. Lenny and I were throwing the ball back and forth to each other, and the other guys were trying to catch up with us. And they say, slow down, you're hustling too much. So I got to realize I'm the oldest guy on the court. And yeah, they wanted me to slow down. So I said, okay, we'll play your game. We'll slow down. But anyway, that's part of working hard. And life is all about working hard. I know sometimes we don't always reap the benefits of working hard, but we're working hard for Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, not for man. I mean, yeah, if we're employed by an employer, we want to work hard for them as much as possible. But God wants us to work hard. He wants us to work on our salvation. He expects us to work hard on our salvation. And he gives us encouraging words. Over in Ecclesiastes, and you probably heard this one before. I think I spoke on this myself. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I keep jumping back pages here. There we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge nor wisdom in the grave. So once we find our final breath in life, we're waiting for the kingdom of God, we can no longer be working. We will be waiting for the return. So now's the time to work hard. Work on our spiritual life. Get close to God. Do the Bible studies. Do the prayer in contact with God. Meditate and fast from time to time when you need to, when you find yourself struggling in life. These are all encouraging words from our Heavenly Father. Work hard. Work on your salvation. Make sure you're going to be in the kingdom of God. Now again, it's a gift from God. We don't earn it. When I say that, some people argue about that. They're saying, well, you know, we can do works and receive blessings, yes, that's the gift from God. But all the things that God gives us are gifts. But he expects us to work hard and to do the best we can in situations. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's just turn back to Proverbs. Verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." I think I gave that one earlier. But as he's directing our paths, we're working and doing the best we can under all the circumstances that we face in life. Do the best you can in working. I'll keep moving along because time goes by quickly. 2 Timothy, let's look at 2 Timothy. I'll get you moving back and forth here. And that's a good thing. When you have time on your hands and you're sitting around in a bed and you're wondering, you know, where we go from here, because the doctor finally told me, he said, "I'm 6 months ahead of schedule when it comes to open heart surgery." So it's like, yes, good news. So we always take the good news. But now I do have to have surgery for kidney area. So you take the bad news as well. But we work hard either way, no matter what we find ourselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll look at verse 7 and 8. And I like this one again. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all those who love his appearance." That's you and me, all of us. Are looking forward to that. And that's why we need to work hard on our salvation. While we're physically able to, continue to work hard and stay faithful. I'm going to refer to Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. You can write that down. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. And let's look at Psalms 128. Again, this is in reference to working. I heard a sermon which was interesting. I believe it was Brian Drawball talked about building. It says, "Well, accept the Lord, build the house. We're part of the house, and he's building us. They labor in vain." It talks about builders. "Accept the Lord, keeps the city, the watchman vains a watch, but in vain. But it is vain unto you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrow." So he don't want us to have sorrow. He doesn't want us to have pain and discomfort. "For so he gives his beloved sleep. Though children are an inheritance of the Lord," and I'm reading the wrong chapter. Sorry, I said 28, then 128. I'm reading 127. No wonder it wasn't making sense what I wanted to go. Next chapter. Okay, we're going to jump over to 128 now, and let's look at, let's see where did I put my note here. Verses 1. "Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord and walks in his ways." Yes, that makes more sense. "For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you." And I love this verse. Next one. "Your wife shall be a fruitful vine." And I was blessed with 50 years with Linda. She was a fruitful vine. And it says, "Your children be like olive plants around your table." And they are. They're a joy. Children are a blessing. "The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life." And so as we look forward to the kingdom and we finish our working hard in our lives, we realize the next phase will be spiritual phase. We'll be in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful opportunity. And we'll be working hard in the kingdom of God. There's so many things that need to be fulfilled as we read the prophecies of what will be happening in the wonderful world tomorrow. We'll be all part of that, and we'll be working hard in that. Point number 6 is stay humble. And that one is so true. When you get depressed, it's hard to stay humble. Sometimes you can go to humble and below humble. We want to be humble, which is not being proud or vain, which brings us down to a level of humility, but we don't want to go below that humility. That's where humility can actually lead us to the point of depression. And so we want to be humble, but we don't want to be below humility. Now, there's many scriptures in reference to humility. I've given a sermon already about humility. I'm just going to refer some on that. Let's look at Micah. Micah chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 8. And I like this one because he kind of tells us straight to the point what we need to do. He has shown you, O man, what is good. God has shown us what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of us? Notice what it says here. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly. To do justly. To love mercy. And we need to love those who are suffering over in Israel. We need to show mercy towards them and pray for them, for Israel. They need all the prayers that we can give. And notice, to walk humbly with your God. That's a wonderful scripture I like to refer to because it keeps us humble. It makes us realize, what does the God require of us? And it says he requires us to do justly, and justly towards others and who we deal with, to love mercy, to show mercy to those that maybe are mistreating us. We have to still show mercy towards them, and to walk humbly with God. You know, we can walk humbly without God, but he emphasizes walk humbly with God. And so that's very, very important. Let's look at 1 Peter. No problem, I still have another half hour or so. So I still got two more to go to. So we're in good time now. Okay. Back to humility. 1 Peter. Let's look at verse 5, chapter 5. And we'll look at 4 and 7. Yes, this is, make sure I get the right chapter. 1 Peter, chapter 5, and we'll look at 4 through 7. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Yea, all you shall subject one to another and be clothed with humility. And so we need to serve and help each other, but we need to do it with humility. Don't do it proudly. For God resists the proud, as it says here. God resists it and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And he will. Being in the kingdom of God will be a wonderful opportunity for each and every one of us. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That's another situation that causes so many people to stumble and fall. They're not willing to forgive. They get upset with somebody, and they just stick in their mind, I will never let that person take advantage of me again. Now, we don't want to be taken advantage of, but we have to be willing to forgive individuals. Sometimes they don't realize what they're doing. Remember what Christ said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And they murdered him. So we have to be willing to forgive one another, it says, in long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has any quarrels against you, even as Christ forgave you, also you need to do the same. And that's part of humility, is being willing to do that. One more scripture I'm going to refer to because of time. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 11. Point number 7, be kind. Now, you're seeing a lot of signs at people's houses, be kind. Notice that all of a sudden it says, kindness makes you the most beautiful person. And that is so true. When you show kindness towards others, that makes you a very beautiful person. And someone gave me this. I don't know if you can see it. It's an old man sitting on a bench. And it says here, even the strongest hands can lose their grip. And if we have arthritis, you understand what that's about. The greatest of minds can become cloudy. Dementia and other circumstances in life, and the biggest of the hearts can break because of circumstances. So be kind, just always be kind. I thought that was pretty neat. Showed an old man sleeping on a little bench, and it just says, show kindness. Because like I say, as we grow old, and we're all going to grow old eventually, we need to show kindness towards one another. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. No, give God the wisdom. Give God the glory. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Of course, power and might, strength, everybody thinks they're so strong. And let not the rich man glory in his riches. And so many people, that's what they trust and rely on, their riches. I find it so much interesting. You noticed in the news, they're pushing gold and silver. Put your trust in gold and silver. And what does the Bible say? They're going to throw it in the streets. It won't have any value later on as time progresses on the prophecies. Throwing money in the street. But it says, in the man glory in it. But notice what it says here. But let him that glorifies glory in this, that he understands and knows me. We need to know God, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. And in these things I delight, says the Lord. So that's what we want to do. Our kindness is towards one another, yes, but we also want to acknowledge God's kindness. He is the one that has blessed us to know him and to have understanding of his plan for mankind and all that will take place. Titus. Look at Titus chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 4 and 5. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, but after this, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. And he did. God showed so much kindness to us, to give us so much of his truth and understanding. Not by works of righteousness that we of what we have done, but according to his mercy. Notice, it's the emphasis of God's mercy. He saved us by the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing to be able to know that out of God's kindness, we have the opportunity of having these wonderful blessings and being able to be part of the kingdom. Galatians 5:22, I'm just going to refer to that. You know that. That's the fruits of the Spirit, and one of them is kindness. 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter. And we'll look at chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What a wonderful, kind, merciful, loving God we serve, that he has precious promises that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we don't have to be part of the world. We can be separated from the world and yet have all the blessings because of God's greatness. And besides this, giving all diligence to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godly, brotherly kindness. So again, our kindness is towards God, but it's also towards one another and reaching out to one another. That was number 7. Number 8, and I like this one. Keep smiling. That's not always easy, brother, when you're going through some trials. It says, because of your smile, you make life more beautiful. And that is so true. If you're ever in a situation where somebody comes up to you and smiles, doesn't that just excite you? You appreciate a nice smile to reach out to the individuals and makes you feel comfortable and just enjoyable. Well, again, I thought about that when I was laying in bed. I'm thinking, no, what does God say about smiling? Does he say, I know he smiles down from heaven. I thought about that, and I thought about what are some of the scriptures that reference to smiling? Well, let's look at Proverbs. You can't ever go wrong with Proverbs. When you're looking for something to keep you smiling, read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 17, we'll look at, and we'll look at verse 22. A merry heart does great like a medicine. Now, when you got a merry heart, it shows on your face, too, the smile. And the father, well, I don't have to do that. Let's see. But a broken spirit dries the bone. So the point emphasis is a merry heart. If you have a merry heart, you will be positive, and you'll show positive on your face with a smile. Now, someone told me a frown is just a smile is just a frown turned right side up. That's how they said it, because I've heard it the other way. A frown is just a smile turned upside down. But a frown is a smile turned right side up. I thought, yes, that is so true. A frown is a smile turned right side up. Psalms 126. And we'll look at verse 2 and 3. Psalms 126, verses 2 and 3. As the mountains are round... 126. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter, and our tongues will be singing, and then they shall be among the heathens. The Lord has done these great things, and the Lord has done great things for us, wherefore we are glad. And so we need to smile, brethren. Smile to one another. Smile when we receive the wonderful blessings that God has given us. Be thankful and show appreciation for that. Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs 15. We'll look at 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. So again, when somebody is happy and it's in their heart, they're going to have a cheerful countenance. And that cheerful countenance is a smile, reaching out to one another. It says, and verse 14, the heart of him that has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. And so we don't want to have a frown on our face, brethren. We want to be smiling. Now, it's hard to smile when you're, I heard a song, smile when your heart is breaking, smile when your bones are aching. I forget how the rest of the song went, but the emphasis is smile. Smile when you're going through those difficult times and stay positive. We'll do one more time. Chapter here, Numbers chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 25 and 26. Numbers 6. We're almost finished. I hope I didn't wear you out by turning a lot of pages. But this is encouraging to me, brethren. I hope it's encouraging to you, because, like I say, we have to stay positive in a world that is going to get cold and evil and horrible leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. We have to stay positive no matter what happens in the world. Numbers chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 25. The Lord makes his face smile or shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you peace. So our Heavenly Father is looking down from heaven, and he's smiling when he sees us doing the right things in life. He wants us to do the right things. Well, those are 8 positive ways of staying positive in a negative world. I'll go over them very quickly with you again. Believe in yourself, because our Heavenly Father, God, believes in you. Stay strong and endure to the end. Don't let anything take your crown. Never give up. Seek God when you feel like giving up, and always stay faithful to him. Be grateful for all the wonderful, thankful things he's given us. Work hard, especially towards our salvation. Now, we don't earn salvation. It's a gift. But we still need to work hard and seek God's kingdom. Stay humble. Don't let pride and vanity take you away from humility. And don't let you get so humbled below humility that you actually are discouraged. Be kind. Show kindness towards all, even those that sometimes take advantage of us. And something I have to work on, keep smiling, because I'm losing my teeth as I get older. So even when I smile, the smile is definitely different. One more scripture and we'll conclude. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 8 and 9. I'm getting there. Like I say, sometimes my pages stick and I can't get them to separate. There we go. The old finger-licking unpaged stick. Philippians 4, and let's look at verse 8 and 9. This is one way that we can stay positive. We can encourage each other. We can stay away from the negative ways of life, always thinking positive, trusting in God, during these 8 points that I talked about, and listen to what it says here in Philippians 8. Finally, brethren, so here this Paul is encouraging us here, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and there's so many things to think about that are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So brethren, if you find yourself ever in a situation where you're struggling, and it will happen, I mentioned life's a roller coaster ride with highs and lows and twists and turns, and we'll find times when we're going to be down. Don't ever stay in that negative attitude. Always find ways to stay positive. I'm going to put these 8 points on my refrigerator, so when I get up in the morning, I can look at them every day and remind me to stay positive. I hope you do too.